You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition, the Happier Happy Hour. If you're listening to me in Wisconsin, be advised, you're probably under a tornado watch. The weather could be troubling this afternoon, so we'll keep an eye on it. We'll inform you if it's coming your way. Dom, coming your way tomorrow morning, live J6 coverage, starting at 9 a.m. right here on Devil Radio and the Shaw. We're going to play it for the people live. And Dom, tomorrow is all about Mike Pence, the pressure campaign to get the VP to, you know what, just throw out his constitutional oath. And here's something you got to remember. He was considerate. He was thinking about it. And who told him no? Dan, I can't spell potato quail, right? Dan Quayle was the guardrail.
Well, I think he had his own attorneys as well telling him no. I mean,
to go see Dan Quayle and ask the question again? If he was satisfied with his own legal counsel.
I'm not saying he was satisfied, but I'm saying there were more than, I mean, it wasn't just Dan Quayle. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Anyone who listens to Dan Quayle for anything only, I'd question their judgment as well.
You say potato, Dan Quayle says potato.
But certainly he had advisors and attorneys around him. And listen, at the, you know, ultimately, if you think there's a problem, you know, you do have the right. You know, Trump and his allies went to court 62 times. If you're concerned about something, if you hear something fishy, and you
see something, say something.
Say something, exactly. Yes, of course, pursue all your legal means. But at the end of the day, when it comes out that, no, there was not fraud, no, you can't do that, Mike Pence, and then you go ahead and do it anyway, you know, at some point that becomes a crime.
Yes, I think
just
so.
Saying, man, you know?
Rubin's newest, this just published over at the Washington Post. Even the good lawyers didn't blow the whistle on Trump. As she puts it, that was wrong. That's wrong.
You think?
Let me read a little bit from the Rubin column. Some attorneys in the Trump administration and serving as lawmakers in Congress enabled egregious and perhaps criminal conduct after the 2020 election. Perhaps others prevented former President Donald Trump from acting even worse than he did, or at least refused to assist him. But none of them alerted the FBI, the public, or congressional leadership. That's a serious failing.
That's a nice way to put it, Ruben.
It's like me, first time I took stats in college. It was a serious failing. Some lawyers' conduct was reprehensible. Testimony collected by the House January 6th committee showed that Trump's perhaps drunken attorney, Rudy Giuliani, who lost his law license for filing utterly frivolous cases, promoted a coup over other advisors' objections. News reports disclosed that the former Assistant Attorney General Jeffrey Clark had prepared a draft letter to state officials making a false claim of widespread fraud in soliciting alternative slates of electors. And worst of all, right-wing attorney John Eastman cooked up an infamous plot to stop the electoral vote count and deny the legitimate winner, Joe Biden, the ability to take office. Many House members who are lawyers similarly signed on to an amicus brief in a frivolous case. You remember in Texas, Dom, initiated by lawyer and Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. Well, he's under indictment himself on federal charges, is he not? To challenge the results of certain states that President Biden won. in the Senate. And I'm glad she brings these guys up. In the Senate, Republicans with Ivy League law degrees, such as Senator Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley, spread the big lie and made groundless objections to prevent the orderly counting of the electoral votes. These actions exploited the Trump's base delusion and put democracy at risk. And all of this conduct is unacceptable for anyone who's taken an oath of office, let alone a lawyer who has obligations as an officer of the court. Claims to sanction some of these characters have been filed. Clark and Giuliani, for example, could have criminal liability. The crime fraud exception does not allow them to hide behind attorney-client privilege. If the facts are sufficient to prove they committed conspiracy to defraud the United States or conspiracy to disrupt an official proceeding of Congress. And Dom, other lawyers perform much better. Former attorney, much better. Come on. Bill Barr, much better?
Hey, it doesn't take, when it's that
it's
bad,
a low bar.
To be much better doesn't take much.
Well, it'd have to be, it's a low Bill Barr. Other lawyers perform much better. Rubin's assessment, not mine. Former Attorney General William Barr testified he repeatedly told Trump that no systematic fraud occurred. Acting Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen and his deputies, Richard Donahue and Steve Engel, all threatened to resign if Clark were elevated to Attorney General. Pat Cipollone, White House counsel, denounced Clark's stunt. Meanwhile, Bijan J. B.J. Pack, the former U.S. attorney in the Northern District of Georgia, diligently investigated fraud claims and quit rather than take part in the pressure campaign to find votes. You know, like 11,780 of them, right, Tom? To overturn the election. Their actions helped defuse a constitutional crisis. You got this, Tom?
I do. However, Jennifer Rubin from the Washington Post writes, when Barr quit, he wrote a glowing letter about the man he later testified may have become detached from reality. He publicly supported the effort to discredit mail-in balloting, and none of the lawyers in the administration, Barr, Rosen, Donahue, Engel, Cipollone, or Pack, went to the FBI, the media, or Congress to warn the country. We should find out why and then revise legal ethics rules accordingly. Did they think that everything was under control? Certainly they knew Trump had not yet conceded and had planned the Stop the Steal rally on January 6th. That seems the weakest excuse. Did they feel bound by the attorney-client privilege or beholden to Trump because they served in his administration? Sorry, but the client of government lawyers is the American people, not an individual president. Did they think that they could preserve their careers? Perhaps they calculated that by staying quiet meant they did not have to face the wrath of the GOP and the MAGA crowd or end their careers in GOP circles. If they thought quitting was sufficient, they were grotesquely wrong. With regard to Rosen, he had a legitimate concern that executive privilege prevented him from revealing the contents of Oval Office meetings. His conclusion that the plot had been nipped in the bud, while sincere, proved horribly naive. The oath that government officials take obligates them to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. In refusing to publicly short-circuit the coup attempt, they failed to fulfill that most elementary duty. State bars, and certainly the Justice Department, must clarify lawyers' ethical obligations. After exhausting all internal channels, they must alert law enforcement or the public to any plot to overthrow our democracy.
I like that plan.
If you're gonna really, you got to say it.
To overthrow the government, you got to say something. Let's make that a rule.
I mean, isn't that the assumed? I mean, they took the oath. She concludes, Jennifer Rubin does, apparently that now has to be spelled out with the threat of professional punishment if they fail to do so. None of these people cover themselves in glory. No, absolutely not. And when you say, I mean, like Barr, you say one thing, and you go out and talk about these mail-in ballots, and then you get, you know, you get subpoenaed and testify under oath and say an entirely whole different set of things. I mean, there is an opportunity, ample opportunity, and on multiple levels by lots and lots of people to avoid this. But, you know, when you're in a cult, I guess it makes it a little hard to go against the grain.
Aren't you quite judgmental, Mr. Salvia?
Sure.
I guarantee that you've made plenty of pledges by the dashboard light in your day, if you will, that you may not have upheld, let's
I have never.
I swear I'll I'll love you in the morning.
I have never taken an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I've never done that. And I would be more able and apt and willing to do that than some of these people who actually took the oath.
844-967-2789. CJ, you were in the military, were you not, sir?
No, my own platoon would have said we don't know what happened to him.
Yeah, they would have fragged your ass. I could see that.
But
so you took no oath to uphold the Constitution. You've never taken an oath of that sort.
Doing my part now.
What's that?
I'm doing my part now.
Oh, is that what you're doing, CJ? This is your patriotic step to call in our radio shows and talk trash and cachet and talk about Joe Biden's inflation and the such. That's your patriotic duty, CJ?
I talk facts, and I'm glad Jimmy Carter lived long enough to not be the worst president anymore, ever. Because
Trump, didn't he? Wow, did Trump ever.
Yeah, wow.
I'm glad human beings.
That's amazing you said that, CJ. I'm glad we recognize that fact.
CJ, if you believe in heaven and hell, Jimmy Carter is perhaps the greatest human being we've ever had as president. I mean, just truly a humanitarian. And no one's ever called Donald Trump that in sincerity in his entire life.
Jimmy Carter is Christ-like. Yes, he is. He's a carpenter now.
And Trump more Judas-like.
Well, happy birthday, guys. And we won't talk about the other record that this president got.
Well, good. We'll move on. Thanks for calling, CJ. Yeah,
thank you for the birthday wishes, CJ. We do appreciate it.
You know, Trump would have also been one of the money changers in the temple. He'd have been pounding the nails in the cross.
Oh, he wouldn't have been pounding the nails. He'd have hit his thumb. He's not that kind of guy. He'd have someone else pound the nails and then not pay him.
Okay, it would have been Eric. Come back with us. You're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I can't believe we're in the happy hour. Dom, you know, I want to talk about college days for Becky Clayfish and perhaps ourselves. We were college roommates.
We were.
Going up to our stomping grounds next week. I'm going to broadcast from the third CD from La Crosse, but I want to talk about her run-in. You know, literal. Run, Becky, run! With law enforcement. More Devils.
What has happened to us? What has happened to us?
What have they got that I ain't got? Courage.
You could say that again.
Hi, it's Rudy Giuliani, and I'm on Cameo.
The Devil's Advocates may not agree on much, but funny is funny.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Happy, happy hour to us all. Join us on the phones, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I believe Eric from Wauwatosa called in earlier. He joins us again. Eric, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hi, Eric. Yeah, hi. How are you doing, Devils?
Good, man.
Is this Dom's birthday or Devil's birthday or what?
Well, a little bit of both. Crudy was on, Sunday. Sunday, and mine was yesterday.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I caught up on your Fox appearance, by the way. That was pretty amazing. That was great. That was great. Like I said, you just overtalk them. That was great.
You're welcome, Eric.
I just wanted to point out a little thing earlier to put some context in that. Was it Mo Brooks?
Yep.
I don't know if someone corrected the record since then, but, you know, not long ago, the reason Trump pulled his endorsement a few months back was because he came out and said that Trump had lost, I believe. And that's when it all went bad for him. It wasn't because he had lost faith in him. Mo Brooks was on record like 6 months ago or some period ago saying that Trump had lost, and that's when Trump, you know, ditched him.
It wasn't
Today is the day American patriots start taking down names and kicking ass.
So it wasn't the fact that he might be criminally implicated. That doesn't bother Trump because, by extension, Trump also implicated. It's more the lack of the loyalty.
Yeah, but that's why Mo Brooks was getting out, because he saw the writing on the wall, and he's like, nope, 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 he lost, and that was it for Trump. He needs him to ride and die.
Any other thoughts, Eric?
You know, I got plenty, but that was it for the day, man. I'm really sorry, you guys. I just kind of wanted to call and correct the record. You know, it's crazy what's going on. I'm looking forward to the next January six hearings, and you're going to be covering them tomorrow afternoon, right?
Tomorrow morning. Yeah, please tune in 9 a.m. Central time.
10 a.m.
9 a.m. Central. 9 a.m. local. Tulsa time.
Are you sure? Tomorrow's not an early afternoon? Okay.
I believe it might be noon. I'm going to double check that.
Uh-oh. They're changing times on us?
I was thinking Earl was lucking out because you weren't cutting into a show again.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Poor Earl's catching hell. And here in Madison, Stephanie Miller is being preempted as necessary. We'll play it live. Whenever the hearings are, we'll confirm, yes, Brian's got the time.
CBS News is reporting the House Select Committee investigating January 6th will hold a third public hearing on Thursday beginning at 1 p.m. Eastern. That is noon Central Time.
As long as it doesn't mess with the devil's advocate.
Oh. Exactly.
Well, Mystery Science Theater, no, we couldn't do that. We'd play that out.
No, we would play it out live.
Absolutely.
We would step aside for live testimony.
And we wouldn't step aside for much, but we will for the J6.
I think we stepped aside for the impeachment as well.
And maybe some Mueller testimony.
The impeachment 2.0. 844-967-2789. Always appreciate our callers. Like Joe from Madison. Welcome, Joe. What do you got for us?
Hi, Joe.
Hey, thanks, guys, and birthday wishes to both of you.
Thank you.
It's always interesting to hear CJ, maybe not for the reasons that he thinks, but he does make me think, and it was in his last call he was talking about Jimmy Carter and saying, well, now he's a carpenter. And I thought, now, isn't that interesting? Because a carpenter is somebody, it matters if you do a good job. We've all had carpenters who didn't do a good job, and it's atrocious. It's terrible. It's awful. But a carpenter who does a good job is life-saving. They build a building that lasts, that you don't have to worry about repairs, blah, blah, blah. And in carpentry, you got to tell the truth. You know, either it's right or it's not. You know whether it's right or not. And it made me think about this congressperson who was lying about giving the tours.
Louder,
a person who's taking... Yeah, he's taking government money. He's taking our money, our tax dollars, and then lying his pants off. And I thought, what is going to penetrate? And I thought, well, man, maybe we should start some sort of deal where if you're lying your pants off, fire, you're lying your pants off, set the pants on fire. And I thought, that would be construed as assault. But it was interesting.
It had to come from somewhere, though, Joe, and I think it's a good plan. I like your plan.
Yeah, just, a little bit of, there goes the underwear. But I thought to myself, it's an interesting notion because lying is an assault. When someone keeps lying to you, it's an interesting kind of assault that just erodes, brings the house down. It erodes what you've got.
Well, I'm sorry, Joe, but it's abuse, right? I mean, gaslighting to that kind of degree is abusive.
But that's the point if you believe Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon said, we flood the zone. Basically, there's only so much bandwidth any human being has. And Trump lied all day, every day, right? Thousands and thousands of lies, or repeated many of them over and over again.
Yeah.
So the problem becomes, at some point, you get sick of the fact checks, right? You just say, everybody's lying. All the politicians lie. And by the way, if you ever burned Dominic's pants, Joe, you'd find he rarely wears underwear.
I promise not to. I promise never to do that.
Thanks, Joe.
I would have no need to do it. You are a truthful man. I would have no need to do it. But it's that it is an assault. And when you compare it with Jimmy Carter, who tried to be true, I'm sure he wasn't perfect, but he tried to be true and is now working as a carpenter, a noble, noble craft, and one where truth matters. And I think, I don't know. I look at this and I think a guy who started out his career saying, we're going to build a wall and we're going to make Mexico pay for it. So blatantly a lie. How are you ever possibly going to get Mexico to pay for it? And had no mechanism, cited that made any sense to get Mexico.
No, he got his own schlep followers. Him and Steve Bannon were grifting about that. They were grifting about the big lie. And that's the other weird part, Joe. We knew that Trump was raising money on the big lie and his own candidacy and whatever. Sure. I was getting a million emails a day. I finally had to say F you, Trump, and then they pretty much stopped. But I got to tell you, Joe, the financial incentive is a huge motive. When you're starting to try to prove crimes, what they say, follow the money. That was the Watergate thing. Well, think about the money. Uh-huh. We're talking about $250 million.
At least.
at least, probably substantially more. I mean, they were all on the take. They were all on the grift, Joe. And they didn't even have this supposed official election legal committee didn't even exist. So they were running, raising money under false pretense. You may never get the CJs of the world to see the coup d'etat criminality, but the financial crimes might be the crimes that take Trump down. We'll see. More Devil's Advocates. We're coming back talking about co-ed Becky Clayfish run wild. More of your calls. 844-96-PARTY.
Today is the day American patriots start taking down names and kicking ass.
I crap bigger than you.
Run away!
WI.com.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the happier happy hour, where humor is always appreciated. I love the musical choice. She's a little runaway. Oh, do we got some breaking news for you fine folks.
I'm pretty sure Becky Clayfers went to more than one Bon Jovi concert in her life.
She's got the hair for it. Now, you and I went to a Bon Jovi concert together. Yeah. Anyways, that's a story for a different show.
Yes.
Let's talk about the Wisconsin former lieutenant governor under Scotty Wanker. She is a gubernatorial candidate in her own right. And she was basically the front runner, and then Trump endorsed Tim Michaels. But let's talk about Becky, because she's got some recent bad press. The Journal Sentinel reporting today. And, you know, when it's kind of page sixy, rely upon Dan Bice to break it for the people.
Thank you, Daniel.
I wonder if we'll see Dan again at the, if I'll see Dan at the Democratic Party convention. You know, I'm partying with our pals, Sue and.
Oh, are you nice?
Yeah. They're coming up a day early just to hang out.
Give everybody my love, man.
I won't even call her out by name anymore. Yeah. Just so Dan Bice isn't still hovering. Anyways, former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish acknowledged several years ago that she was once ticketed for underage drinking. Guilty. I was 17. Oh, yeah. Oh,
did everybody? Ticket? No, I never got caught.
$25 ticket because I was under 18. If you were over 18 and you were drinking, you got a bigger ticket.
Really?
A little scotch.
Nope. Never got caught with underage drinking.
The Catholic Church groomed me to alcoholism.
That's the wine.
The saddest part is they left the tickets and the beer. They didn't take our beer.
Well, why is that sad?
We put it in the stove. Well, you know, by that time, I wasn't really in the appetite for beer.
Well, that's exactly when you need a little bit more, baby.
Maybe. Anyways, back to this story.
Yes, please. Daniel Bice at the Journal Sentinel.
Page 6 at the Journal Sentinel. Becky Clayfish in college. We've got the details. They've come out, Dom. As it turns out, the Oxford, Ohio Police Department reported that on that 1995 incident seems to have some relevance in the current Republican gubernatorial campaign. That's because Clayfish, who is positioning herself as the choice of law enforcement, was cited not only for underage drinking, but also for resisting arrest. Don't taser, bro.
Taser? I mean, there's a black man in Grand Rapids got shot in the back of the head for resisting arrest. Let's just think about that for a second.
Well, he wasn't a pretty white co-ed.
Oh, that's right. Thank you for the clarification.
The report says Clayfish bolted from a squad car. I've got new respect for Becky suddenly.
I used to run track.
No wonder why. Well, anyways, the report says Clayfish bolted from a squad car after she'd been held for public intoxication. The officer said Clayfish also lied to the cop about her name, her age, and her social security number. Here are the details from the police report.
Is she even a citizen? It's just so she got false social security numbers? I mean, is she eligible? Can we see Becky Clayfish's birth certificate?
Was she charged as a felon? Is she even eligible to vote? That's my question. Then known as Rebecca Reed, Clayfish's maiden name, was picked up after she was spotted stumbling and staggering down the road at 1:15 a.m. Who has not done a little stumbling and staggering at 1:15 a.m. This date, November 1st, 1995? We may have been stumbling and staggering on that very same night, Dom.
You know, we were done by college by then, man.
Some were. No, I guess I was probably... I probably had my diploma says I was done by then, but I was still living the life. A little bit more.
You're still living a life.
Rebecca Reed, then a sophomore at Miami of Ohio, told the officer she did not have identification, but of course she was 21. The cop then put her in a squad car and drove her down to the police station. Here's a quote from the patrolman. Once at the station, I opened the back door of the car, and she bolted from the officer and ran. I caught her, and I placed her in handcuffs.
Says Officer Roach.
Well, he's D. Roach. At the station, the police officer determined that Reed, remember this is Becky Clayfish, gave false information about her name and Social Security number. She was cited for public intoxication, resisting arrest, and underage drinking. Reed was 20 years, 3 months old at the time. 3 month old, yeah. She would be stumbling and staggering down the sidewalk. 23 month old would
be struggling.
The report adds that she attacked the state's liquor laws for her personal satisfaction.
Hey, honey.
What does Clayfish say about the old but embarrassing incident?
Well, Crudy,
you have that down, please.
I do. What was her maiden name here? Reed. Rebecca Clayfish, now 46, said she hasn't shied from the topic since she was first asked about it in 2013 when the Journal Sentinel included a one paragraph on her underage drinking ticket in a nearly 1,600 word profile. Now, if I may just stop that. I mean, so the omission of the truth is not a lie? I mean, certainly this is new news that this was resisting arrest and providing false names and social security numbers or whatever else she did, right?
But she did acknowledge it broadly. I've made some mistakes.
Unfortunately, many of us make stupid mistakes when we are young, and I was no exception. Clayfish said in an email, "Of course, I regret my actions."
Are we all to enumerate the multitude of youthful mistakes we might make?
Please let me count the ways.
I took the wrong week. Quit drinking.
I still consider myself, even though it was my birthday, I'm still a youth. Back in 2013, she said she sat down with her two daughters, now adults themselves, and told them about the incident before it was made public. She said she wanted her children to be prepared for the story and learn from her mistakes. It is humbling and embarrassing that I chose to drink underage, and I have counseled my girls to avoid bad choices.
Then avoid all the bad choices in life, or life's no fun, but please continue.
Hey, man, Senator Johnson says try all the drugs. But then the political candidate went back to work. She says she feels sorry for her opponents, that her opponents feel the only way they could win in August was if they dug up an incident from her time as a college sophomore. Well, you know what? And just for the record, that kind of contradicts her her statement that she didn't shy away from the topic. Because if you didn't shy away from the topic, why are we talking about it now? You absolutely shied away from the topic. And in different circumstances and different races, you would have had a whole different outcome. And Ooh. It's not the drinking. Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, Mr. Kata, I can tell you why we're talking about it now.
Why?
Because the very well-resourced Tim Michaels campaign probably sent someone down to Ohio to actually take the next step, do the follow-up research. Because Becky reported to the Journal Sentinel back in 2012, she had the underage drinking ticket. But the journalist at the time never looked. Because otherwise, this would have been in the larger 1,600-word profile.
Oh, sure,
the resisting
whatever.
Arrest,
that's
the bolting
fine. And you can talk
the
about the journal, but we're not talking about the journalism. We're not talking about her political opponent's op research. We're talking about Becky Clayfish's very specific statement that she didn't shy away from something she did not divulge. The lack of divulging is specifically shying away. She continues from her
semantics,
BS email.
Words.
Yeah.
Like they have meaning.
It's unfortunate they would rather talk about a ticket from the 90s than struggling Wisconsin families in 2022. The fact of the matter is, I believe in law and order and have taught my daughters to respect law enforcement as every Wisconsinite should. Yeah, every Wisconsinite. You lived in Ohio then, though, so apparently that's okay then. Shortly before Clay was
she
left,
she was on the zip code, Dom. You know, it's all fair game then.
Before Clayfish left Miami University, she said her family returned to Wisconsin from Ohio, said her parents insisted that she move home to the Badger State and focus on her studies. Well, Becky tearing it up a little bit too much down in old school?
Weren't we all?
In the meantime, she switched her major from marketing to communications. Hey, Crudy, you and Becky both are communications majors.
Everybody's doing it.
And you both got underage drinking tickets.
I got worse than that, but please continue.
Clayfish spent a semester at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, where she interned at WISN AM Channel 12, where she later became a reporter and morning anchor. She then transferred and graduated from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Today, she's running as a get-tough-on-crime conservative who has the backing of the Milwaukee Police Association and the Fraternal Order of Police. But let me tell you about your stupid drinking laws. As part of her Back the Badge campaign.
Law and order for you, Dom. For you.
As part of her Turn the Back and Run on the Badge campaign, Clayfish has promised more police in Milwaukee and sending state patrol into high crime areas. She has also said she would hire Milwaukee County DA John Chisholm. Asked if she expected her ticket for resisting arrest would hurt her standing with police groups, Clayfish spokesman Alec Zimmerman dismissed the suggestion. He said she is the pick of law enforcement because she is willing to do what it takes to keep repeat violent criminals behind bars and provide law enforcement the resources they need to keep our communities safe.
What about the bail jumping, right? They want to fire Chisholm. They want to throw out the parole. Go ahead.
Daniel Bice from the Journal Sentinel concludes, or to hear Clayfish these days, she is now standing by the men and women in blue, not running from them. Our law enforcement officers are under siege right now, and nobody seems to want to stand up for them, Clayfish told the media in February. Well, I will.
Do you think she had, was she one of those kind of people that put the Mothers Against Drunk Driving sticker on the back of her car and hope she wouldn't be pulled over for drunk driving? You know, that sort of logic.
Oh, right.
Sheriff's Association sticker. You got one of those.
Right. That's a get out of jail
free. Back the badge. Thin blue line.
Yeah, I don't know if that was a thing back in 1995. All right, so let's just throw this out there.
I have a similar story if you want to hear it.
Let me just state my opinion, then I'll like to hear your story. So what? All right, so we all done stupid things when we're young. Hell, sometimes we still do stupid things. And that's life, right? And how you react to that, you know, certainly is testament of your character, perhaps. But when you realize and you know that what you did back in when you were 20 years old and you were consuming drugs underage, because alcohol is a drug, you ran from the cops, you resisted arrest, you gave false social security numbers, etc., right? If you do that and then you come out now as an adult, knowing that, you know, this is what? She was 20 years old. She's what, 48 now? I mean, she's
46.
Right? So, 46? Well, okay, so 26 years, not so long ago. Now you're going to come out and say, well, if anybody else does that, that they should, what, face harsher penalties than she did?
Well, she was a non-repeat first offender.
Are you sure about
flee
that?
From the copper.
Are you sure about
that?
Yeah,
maybe the prior time she got away.
Right. That would be a great follow-up question.
Coon Creek in college, my sophomore year, I was living in the apartment. I had this girl I had dated for a brief while, and, you know, we had found our way back to each other's arms that particular night.
What we're calling it now? It sounds so romantic.
Well, I feel like it was early in the morning, like we were walking, like, shamefully walking home together. Only this young lady was still drinking beer. You know, like, we hadn't actually gone home from the party. We were going home from the party.
You were still partying. It was just
and she's,
morning.
She's carrying a beer, and I look back, and I see a cop. I'm like, put it down! She drops her beer. So, anyways, cop pulls up next to us. Hey, guys, what was that in the cup? Oh, nothing. How old are you? Looks at me. I say, 21. I was 19 at the time. Looks at Jody. Let's call her Jody. Jody says, 19. So they throw her in the car. I got a fake ID in my wallet. I made myself, you know, real smooth guy I am. So Jody's in the back of the squad car. You know, I'm thinking, oh, man, I got to walk her home. But as soon as that cop looked down and started typing, Crudy made a bolt. I did a Becky Clayfish. Run, Crudy, run. Let's just say Jody and I didn't have a rendezvous that morning. Come back for Devil's Advocates.
Hey, honey. Hey.
What the hell are you doing?
We're streaking.
It's just me and Fancy here right now.
I don't care what drug will work. Try a bunch of them.
Can we marry dogs?
Everybody's doing it.
The Devil's Advocates, because freedom.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Some say the greatest radio show ever, and they'd be right. Last segment of the day, call us right now if you got something to say. 844-967-2789.
Dominic, mostly because Jeff's been a patient man, we're going to take Jeff. But then I think we got to talk some Gableman.
Oh, for sure.
Jeff from Madison, welcome back. What do you got?
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, gentlemen. A couple of questions. If you ever get a chance to ask Becky Clayfish some questions, could you ask her if she's ever streaked the quad, or if anybody's ever accused her of having a love child in college?
As in Scott P. Walker or Scott K. Walker? I forget which one he is.
I can't keep those guys straight either. And then the other thing is, I just want to know, really, who would Jesus kill?
Who would Jesus kill?
Yeah, Lauren Bobert said that Jesus wouldn't have been crucified if he had an AR-15.
Jesus would not have been crucified if he had an AR-15. Well, if we believe the Bible, he was the Son of God. So you think he was a little more powerful than that high velocity output weapon, but you know.
Well, he could stop the bullets, but he couldn't stop the nails. I can tell you this,
he definitely wouldn't have carried the cross that far.
Was he really struggling carrying the cross?
I think Simon helped him, didn't he? Someone helped Jesus with the cross.
Simon and Garfunkel?
You know, if he had an AR-15, though, he could have had a lot of help with the cross. Hey, you, everybody on this side, you're carrying that big honking thing. Jeff, any other thoughts or questions?
Besides Lauren Bobert suggesting that Jesus Christ would have been alive today if he had an AR-15? I mean, because if he never died as the Son of God, wouldn't he live forever?
Don't you think she's just trying to turn the page from her apparent photos on the sugar daddy
Hey, Jeff, thanks for the call, man. I did have to press the button and click through, and from what I've briefly seen, it looks like there are some pictures from a formal modeling effort career slash, and you know, people are just messing around, but I don't know. At this point, I am not confident to report that Lauren Bobert was on the, you know, sugar daddy page.
I am fairly confident to report that Matt Gaetz was Let's talk about Gableman for just a minute. I bet he's trying to be somebody's sugar daddy. He's just, he hasn't accumulated enough of these states' resources yet. Maybe why they're so vastly over budget on this big investigation.
Oh, what a joke. You want to start this one out, Crudy?
No, it's going to have you.
All right, man. Well, Molly Beck reporting. Actually, let me jump in here. Former Supreme Court Justice Gableman should face discipline. Corrupted over misogynistic comments a judge orders.
Gableman should face discipline from state officials who oversee the conduct of attorneys after he berated a Dane County judge and female attorney in a Friday hearing while refusing to answer questions about his handling of public court requests. We have some sound of that, Brian?
We do. We've got Hot Mike Gableman, Big Lie Gableman, talking trash.
Now, are you ready to...
I'm ready to play it. I just want to let you know it's Hot Mic, so it's kind of, you know, muffled a little bit, but I do want to pay attention to the last 30 seconds because he comes to a realization and you can see the wheels turning. It's amazing.
All right, here we go.
Well, you know, I don't know that this is his time to shine. You know,
about the judge.
What passes for success for him. He's just finally, somebody's. You know what? I'm annoyed at when lawyers interrupt me because I don't need people to tell me how right I am. I need them to tell me that I'm wrong. Let me figure out how to get around it. But that's where his advocacy comes in. He's not interested in right or wrong.
Now he's trashing the attorney, his opponent's
you
attorney.
You work as a client. That's what you were saying, right, Ms. Westerberg? Oh, yes. Why don't you come right up to the bench, Ms. Westerberg?
Now he's accusing Remington of effectively showing favoritism and propping up the other counsel.
Why don't you come back into my chambers and you can dictate what I'm
doing? What's the insinuation there?
I had a courtroom. I never acted like that.
Oh, I'm sure you contentious bastard, you did.
I hope I never made a litigant feel like he. I hope.
What about Mark Spreitzer?
I hope I never did. I don't believe I did. I tried. I tried to be fair.
Is he trying to convince himself?
Not like this.
Yeah. I try to be fair at a time like this. Gableman's conduct, says the judge Remington. His conduct was an affront to the judicial process and an insult to Attorney Westerberg by their very suggestion that she is not capable of litigating without the help of a judge. The sophomoric innuendo about Attorney Westerberg coming back to chambers is a sad reminder that in 2022, women lawyers still have to do more to be excellent at their job. As terrible and misogynistic, as asinine as that is, but wait, there's more. Now, this is from Madison.com, Mitchell Schmidt reporting. In a scathing rebuke of Gableman's behavior in court last week, a Dane County judge has ordered the former state Supreme Court justice conducting a Republican review of the 2020 election be fined $2,000 a day until he complies with ongoing public records requests.
Are we the taxpayers going to have to pay the fine?
Well, I don't think this is
the contentious.
I assume this is going to be at the office. That's
why
a
would
great
you make
question.
That assumption? I'm less.
Certainly hope it would be Gableman personally, but that's very rarely.
Well, the
case.
Ethics referral, that'll be Gableman personally, right?
Frank Remington, the judge, also directed Gableman's sneering conduct in Remington's courtroom to the office that regulates attorneys and judges in Wisconsin to take possible action against his license to practice law.
Barred.
The circus Gableman created in the courtroom destroyed any sense of decorum and irreparably damaged the public's perception of the judicial process. Remington wrote of Gableman's refusal to answer questions under oath on Friday about whether the Office of Special Counsel he has violated a court order to stop deleting requested documents.
You can't handle the truth. Right?
So continued misogynistic behavior, right? Defiance of the very court justice system that he was once ahead of as he was sitting Wisconsin Supreme Court justice. And now ordered to pay $2,000 a day until he does what the court tells him to do. Talk about a loser. Robin Voss, you need to put an end to this thing yesterday.
I bet he streaked the quad in college. You know, youthful indiscretions.
Voss,
thank you
Gableman?
All for listening. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, going live, J6 hearing, high noon, Central Time.
Buddy!
Today is the day American patriots start taking down names and kicking ass.
And they weren't there for him. They were there.